Good evening, friends. Thankful for the men and the good job in directing us again in worship. And I appreciate the good attitudes here. How are you going to be remembered? What are people going to think of you when they think of your name when you're gone? Believe it or not, in this theme that we've been looking at, I believe that there is something to be said about finding God's purpose for me by thinking of the legacy that we plan to leave. And that's a very important thought based on what we see God telling us about our name. If the name wasn't important, God would even mention it. But there are so many times God does tell us to protect our name, to think about our name, and the influence that will be felt from our name, which is based on our character, is what all that implies. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, in verses 6 and 7, that blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Why would he even mention that to us? If it wasn't to encourage us to leave a godly legacy, to leave a good name, where our memory is blessed, where people are inspired to live better, to choose better, to remain committed to the Lord because of the example we leave and because of the good name we try to leave behind. I love the way it's worded in Nehemiah 5 and verse 19, where the prayer is, remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Remember the good I've done, is what he's saying. And that's a good thought. That's an important thought for all of us. You can also look at our reading from today and how there is a reference to a godly name based on a godly character. That it blesses you now, is what he says. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, talking about godliness and how it's profitable for all things, as he says, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So being a godly person certainly is going to pay off for us when we get to the end, like we just sang about. And that when we come to the end of our life and we answer for the life we've lived, a godly life is going to be rewarded. But Paul says that a godly life blesses us here. Now, the life that now is can be enhanced by being a godly person. And that builds our godly name. I think of what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10 about a godly widow and looking at the women who will be supported by the church because of their financial needs. And as he says, in looking at all the requirements that they have to meet, he mentions how this godly widow has to be reported for good works. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Now what you have there is a woman who has a proven track record as a godly person that's going to bless her in the life to come, but in this scenario can bless her here, now. But all of that ties into the name, a good name. She has to have a good name. And so I ask you, how are you going to be remembered? What are people going to think about you when you're gone? Because even that is mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 5. That a name can not only affect us here while we're here, it can also have an impact when we're gone. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says in verses 24 and 25 that some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. And so he's saying, look, we can see certain things in one another before the day of judgment, and we can get an idea about the kind of people we are around by the works. But he says sometimes things don't come out until we're gone. And that's true with evil, but it's also true with good. Sometimes our good is not fully felt and realized until we leave. That's a legacy. And so I ask you, how are you going to be remembered? What are people going to think about if they think about you the way you intentionally lived and what you intended to leave behind? And that's what I want to develop for just a few minutes this evening, because I think this is important to God. I believe God wants us to leave a good name. And we can look at this in several ways. By looking at the legacy we're going to leave, for one, our family. How will our family remember us? How's your spouse going to remember you? When you're gone, will your spouse remember a person who was a servant, who was loyal, who was genuinely godly, and who was a loving person, or will they have different memories of you? In Proverbs chapter 31, it talks about, in verses 10 through 12, how a godly woman is going to have a good influence on her family. Proverbs chapter 31, it says in verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will lack no gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." And then he gives a beautiful description of what type of person this is. The people who know you best live with you. They know you. They see you. They see a side of you that no one else sees. That's not always on display. They know the real us. And when they know the real us, when we consider our example, will they see a genuinely godly person who was the real thing, who was a real servant to the family, who was truly loyal to the family? There's a painful thing described in Proverbs, and none of us want this said of us. You don't want this legacy. And that's the legacy of being unfaithful to your spouse. You're going to have opportunity to do that. There are people who will be attracted to you, and you'll have opportunity to commit this great crime. In Proverbs chapter 6, it says in verse 32 and 33, it's going to hurt you. You don't want to do this. It says in verse 32, Proverbs 6, "Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away." There's a painful legacy to that. Can be forgiven, absolutely can be forgiven. And you can rise above it, no doubt about it. But it's a tarnish, and it's something you don't want. You don't want to be known as a person who is unfaithful to your spouse. You don't want that. You don't want your family to remember you for that type of person. Instead, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5 that the real higher, nobler calling is for you to be content with your spouse, satisfied, not looking at anyone else or for anyone else. And here's how the Bible says this. In Proverbs chapter 5, he says in verse 15, to drink water from your own cistern. That is, you have something special here. Don't share it with other people. These sexual desires, this intimacy, don't seek that with other people. Don't share your desires with other people. Save it for your spouse. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving deer and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Well, I don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want to have that betrayal in your marriage. And so, leave a godly legacy. Leave the legacy of somebody who was faithful, had opportunity elsewhere, but was faithful, loyal to the spouse. I think of the children. In the legacy we're going to leave our children, this is a big one. This is an important one. Because this too is something that we have control over, that we can leave an example. Now, I don't care who you are, and I don't care how good you've done as a parent. There's every single one of us in here, as a parent, has regret. Every single one of us. that we were not perfect, and you're not perfect. Now, as you're raising your children, you're going to make mistakes. There's not a single person in here who would not go back and do some things differently if we can. That's not going to happen, but we all have regret. We've all made mistakes as parents. But you know one thing you and I can do? Because sometimes our children don't live the way we want them to, and all we can do is this right here. Leave them a solid example of faithfulness. That's all we can do. We can pray for them, but all we can do is leave them an example of ending our life in loyalty to the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Bible mentions how Timothy was influenced not only by his mother, but also his grandmother because of her example. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Timothy learned to fear God because of the example of his mother and his example of his grandmother. That's a legacy. That's a beautiful legacy. And that's really the only legacy that counts when it comes to our relationship with our children. What example are we leaving them? Not if we've always been perfect or godly, because we failed that. But what example are we leaving them? Do they see that we are devoted to the Lord? Do they see that we love the truth? You know, I thought about that. How could Timothy be influenced so much by his mother? And when you go back and look at Timothy, in Acts chapter 16, here's something that should stand out to us, because I think this can kind of fill in the cracks of why this man was so influenced by his mother. Look at the setting in Acts chapter 16, where it talks about in verses 1 through 3 that when Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in the region, for all knew his father was Greek. So you look at where he was. He is at Lystra, and he's at Iconium in that area. And the significance of that in the story of Acts is that when Paul came through there the first time, he got his brains beaten out. The guy was left on the street as if he was dead. That's the only reason these people stopped stoning this guy, because they thought he was dead. And this happened at Iconium. And the people there, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, all the Christians who were there knew this. And they saw Paul. They saw the ravaged beating his body took. And yet you see in Acts chapter 16 that Timothy is there. He's a Christian. And he is going to join Paul in preaching the gospel. And he did that with the support of his mother and his grandmother. Now you think about that. Here's a woman who saw what happened to Paul for preaching the gospel, and yet she approved and supported her son in preaching the same message. Why would a woman do that? Why would a mother expose her son to that much danger? It's because she loved the truth. She loved God's word, and she was a genuinely godly person. That's a legacy. And you and I cannot control what we've done in the past. We've all messed up. But we can control what we do right now. And that's the lasting impact that we can have on our family. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. I came across a wonderful story. And it's about two different men. And the first one is known as Artful Eddie. Now, from what I understand, here was a fast-talking, sharp attorney, lawyer, that was eventually hired and brought into the business, the mafia business, by Al Capone himself. Al Capone was impressed with this guy. And he was able to use this guy's quick thinking and his intelligence and his ability to figure out things and expose things. And so he was given the task of heading up the Department of Illegal Dog Races. And he was able to fix them. He had figured out a way to fix all the races. And so it was a sure thing for him and Al Capone and all those involved. They would always win. And he was known as Artful Eddie because he was just so successful at that. Well, years go by, and he decides to give it up. And he exposes Al Capone's, you know, entity and how they were involved in this illegal activity. And all he did was put a target on his back. Because they didn't understand why he would do this. Why would he would expose this dangerous man? And eventually, it did lead to his premature death. He was gunned down because of it. Then there's this other guy. This other guy is known as Butch. And this is in the 1940s. This is in 1942 exactly. Where this guy named Butch was an ace in the Second World War. And he was with the Navy, the branch of the Navy. And he was the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. Something rare, something special. And you can read his account of how he saved the crew on the Lexington because he was willing to shoot down many of the Japanese forces that were coming to them. And he eventually was known for his success as an aviator pilot. And eventually, 1 year later, he died in combat. Now, what's remarkable is that this guy, Butch, his hometown decided to honor him by naming the local airport after him. And this was in his hometown of Chicago, and it's the airport O'Hare. And it's named after Edward Henry Butch O'Hare, the son of Artful Eddie O'Hare. And the reason Artful Eddie left the mafia is because he wanted to give his son a better chance in life. And it worked. Two different outcomes, two different names. But now every time you fly into O'Hare, you can know that it's there because a father took a stand. He took a stand against evil. He repented of his evil. It cost him his life, but he did that because he wanted to give his son a better opportunity. That's a legacy, and you can do that. We've all messed up, but we can leave our children with the example of somebody who's godly and solid and committed to the Lord, and that comes by loving the Lord and loving His Word. You will not believe the people I have seen obey the gospel long after their parents had died. Their parents went to the grave, not seeing their children faithful to the Lord, pleading for them to be saved. But because they left that legacy of faithfulness to the Lord, it was enough to convince the child years later to do the right thing. God wants you to do that. He wants me to do that, especially with our family. Let me keep moving, please. When it comes to leaving a legacy, what type of legacy are we going to leave our friends? That will our friends remember us as a person who is spiritually minded and especially concerned for the soul? Now, how many times you've read this verse in Acts chapter 10, and how many times has it stood out like it's about to stand out right now? In Acts chapter 10, you might recall that this is the account where Cornelius is being taught the gospel by Peter, brand new development in Christianity, the first Gentiles receiving the gospel. And it says that when Peter came, it's in Acts chapter 10, in verse 24. It says, the following day they entered Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them. He had called together his relatives and close friends. In other words, he was about to hear the gospel, and he wanted his family to hear it, but he also wanted his close friends to hear it. How well did it pay to have a friend like Cornelius? I mean, here's a guy. Yes, you were blessed to be related to him, but how blessed are you to be a friend of his, a close friend of his, who exposed them to the gospel because of his love for truth and his love for the soul? I think about this often. Will people have been blessed because they knew me in life? Will people have been blessed eternally because they knew me in life? What about you? Are people fortunate eternally because they've crossed paths with you and your love for them, your love for the soul, and your love for God's word? Cornelius loved them. He loved the truth. and he wanted them to have it. That's a lasting legacy. When it comes to our legacy with our friends, we have to be careful that we don't leave the legacy of having a negative influence on them. I think of what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 in verse 13 about how certain Christians can develop bad habits, especially the bad habit of slander and gossip. And the reason that happens is because they're inactive. They're not working. They're not serving. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, speaking of widows, besides they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. And so he tells them to get busy in verse 14. I can think of certain people that I have never heard them gossip and engage in slander. What about us? Have people ever heard you gossip and slandered? And I think we could all say we've probably stumbled in that in times past. But here's the question. Will they ever hear us do it again? Will they? Look at it. That he's telling us that it's possible for us to be idle and gossips and busybodies saying things which we ought not. Now, I don't know who would fit the bill on that, but I know I need to hear that. Will people who know me ever hear me slander or gossip again? That's a legacy. Will we have a lasting legacy with the people who know us in this community? Now, this is not just our next door neighbor, though that is important, but it's also the people that work with us. Are they going to see an example of godliness? I think of what it says in Titus chapter 2. Think of this, Titus chapter 2. Now, he's talking to the young men, but in principle, we can see it all applies to us as well. Where he says in verse 6, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech which cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Well, people who know you, especially your friends, know that you are a person who is a pattern of good works, and you are sound in integrity, sound in reverence, in doctrine, all these things. Will they see that in us? I love what it says, or what was said about this one Christian woman who passed away, and they wanted it mentioned at her funeral, her service. Her co-workers wanted it to be said that they felt it was easier to do the right thing when she was around. What a legacy. What a lasting legacy. It was easier to do the right thing when she was around. You can do that. You and I need to do that. We have to be careful not to leave the other example with those who know us. Do you know of anybody who is always telling a filthy joke, is always using bad language, is engaging in corrupt speech? Do you know anybody like that at work or at school or in your life? The Bible says don't be that person. In Colossians chapter 3, it says that we're to have good speech, honorable speech. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds and you put on the new man. Will people ever hear me say a filthy joke? Will people ever hear me curse or lie? That's what he's saying. You put this stuff off. It's not part of us. We are to have that legacy of a positive influence on our community. What about our legacy with this church? I believe that's important as well. You know, when you're gone, people are going to have certain thoughts about you. We see that in Acts chapter 9, that when a Christian woman died, they gathered to mourn her passing, but they gathered to mourn her by remembering the good works she was involved in. She was a person who was a committed servant to her brethren. In Acts chapter 9, it says this, and I hope it can be said of you and me one day. But it says in verse 36, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. And it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And when they washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. We have some tremendous servants here. I mean, there are people you can count on. When a meal is needed, when a ride is needed, encouragement is needed, there are some real servants. But you know, we can get discouraged. We can feel like it's all done in vain. And we have to remember verses like this, that legacy, you know how you want to build a legacy? You start at the end and work forward. That's how you build a legacy. You start at the end. What do you want to leave? And you work forward. And those good deeds have to be part of that when it comes to this church. Will this church be a stronger church because of you and your presence and your service and your example? Is this church better because it knows you and because you're a part of it and you're a member of it and your influence is felt in this body? I hope so, and I believe so. In Philippians chapter 2, it says in verses 3 and 4, Philippians chapter 2, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. When you think of servants at this church, who do you think of? When you think of somebody who's always there to help out and always there to encourage and always ready to contribute, who do you think of? And I'm sure that there's a lot of people we can think of. My point is, let it be you and let it be me, serving, giving, contributing. And none of us is too great to do this. This is profound right here, what I'm about to read for you. In Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, now you think about, before I read this, this is the top guy in Israel. We're talking about Moses. We're talking about the guy who spoke to God as a person speaks to a friend. He was in God's presence, receiving the law. This is God's spokesman. And yet here's what the Bible says about good old Moses. It says in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3 that now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. This guy emptied himself. He served. He humbled himself before men. Top guy in the Jewish faith. And yet he was a servant. More than everybody in the world. That's a legacy. That's a beautiful legacy. And that's a legacy that can be felt by every member in this church. You've listened patiently. I know some of this stuff's not easy to hear, but a lot of times I'm preaching to myself, and you just happen to be present while I'm doing it. And I hope that you benefit from this. But my word, it has to be important. Our name has to be important. Our influence has to be important because God tells us to be mindful of these things. And so you go down the list. How will I be remembered by my family, by my friends, by this community, by this church? Very important. But you know, there's one other person that I didn't mention that we need to mention, and I'll mention it as a way of invitation to persuade you. If you're ready to obey the gospel or if you need to make things right with God in a public way, I'm going to mention this to do that. Because there's one other person that you need to be mindful of what your example says to them. And that's our God himself. How will God remember you? And really, will God even think of you from how you have lived? In Malachi chapter 3, very sobering thought stated. In verse 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and on whom meditate on his name. God had a book. He remembered those who feared him and obeyed him. Are you in that book? Has your name been added to this book as people who are servants of the Lord. You know, we mentioned Cornelius. Go back and read his account in Acts chapter 10. What you'll find is before he even heard the gospel, here is a religious man who feared God, who prayed, who gave to the poor, a very godly man. And yet this very godly man was still lost in sin because he was not in the body of Christ the way it's defined in the New Testament. And so he had to hear the truth and obey that gospel. And as a result of that, he was added to the Lord's body. That's what we want you to do tonight. The chapter, Acts chapter 10, it ends with reference to how Cornelius was baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 10, verse 48, which we know is for the remission of sins. And so we encourage you to do that tonight, to restore your relationship with God, or if you've done some things that need to be corrected, we persuade you with this song as we stand and sing.